So good to be in the house of God this morning.
Amen.
Every day with Jesus is better than the day before. We can turn in our Bibles this morning to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Normally I have it marked, but I didn't today. We're going to start reading there at verse number 1. It says, "To everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. A time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. A time to weep and a time to laugh. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing." I think that's what we just went through. "A time to get and a time to lose, a time to keep and a time to cast away, a time to rend and a time to sow, a time to keep silence and a time to speak, a time to love and a time to hate, a time of war and a time of peace." Lord, we thank you, Jesus, for being with us here in this place today, God. Ask, Lord, you would anoint our minds to receive what it is you have in the church today, God. Help us, oh Lord, to just open our minds and our hearts, God, to allow you in, allow you to work, oh Lord Jesus. Lord, we give you all praise. We give you all glory as always. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. Everybody said amen?
Amen.
God bless you. You may be seated. 86,400. That is how many seconds are in one day. 31,536,000, or how many seconds are in one year. Over the duration of this message, approximately 3,600 seconds will pass. On an average, if you divide the year by four, there would be 7,884,000 seconds in every season. Spring, summer, fall, and winter. I didn't look to see if each of the seasons were all of equal length, but if you average them out, that's what you have. Why am I breaking it down into seconds? Every second that passes is time that we have lost. Time is and should be in our lives a valuable commodity. We should be choosing how are we going to spend that time. For many people, the only time that they bring themselves to attend a church service is in two different seasons, winter and spring. And in those seasons, they will attend potentially two services. They'll come to a Christmas service, and they'll come to an Easter service. If you go to the extreme, if there were lengthy services, they might consume a mere 14,000 seconds out of a year that contains over 31 million. A small amount of time being given to Jesus. It's a precious commodity. We don't know how many seconds we have left. We don't know when our time is going to come to an end. We don't know if I've only got 31 million seconds left in my life, or whether I've only got 3,600. We don't know the time when we're going to end, but I do know that living for God is one of the best things that we can do with our time. There's a familiar slogan that is spoken during the period of time that we call Christmas. Jesus Christ, the reason for the season. I would like to most emphatically declare to you this morning that Jesus Christ is the reason for every season. And that's what I would like to speak to you on this morning. He's not just the reason for Christmas. Jesus Christ is not just the reason for Easter. But Jesus Christ is the reason for our lives, for every season of the year, every minute, every second. The Bible tells us that whatsoever we do in word or deed, we are to do unto Christ. The things that we do in our life as a career, we should be considering God when we pick our career. We should be considering God when we pick out our spouse or who we're going to spend the rest of our life with. We should consider Jesus when we decide to move maybe to another city. We need to just consider him in all the things that we do every day of every year. He is the reason for every season of our life. Fear, depression, and addiction don't leave you alone at every other time of year. Right. Anger, lust, and brokenness don't only attack at Christmas time and at Easter. Anxiety doesn't leave you alone dependent on the time of year that you are in. Satan wants to destroy you and your soul every day, which is why we need to be on guard, which is why every time, every minute of the year, every second of the year, we should be looking towards Jesus Christ as our author and the finisher of our faith, as the one who reached down into that miry clay. He's the one that lifted us up out of the world. He's the one that set our feet upon a rock. He is the one that walks with us every day. He's the one that is there in the quiet of the night. He is the one that's there to comfort you and to lead you and to guide you and to be that lamp unto your feet. Jesus is the one that cares for you and loves you, no matter where you are in your situation of life today. Church is where we gain power for the week. Church is where we come to hear the voice of God. Church is where we come to obtain forgiveness. And church is where the bride gets to know the bridegroom in preparation for that marriage supper of the Lamb. I want to make something very clear this morning. I do believe in church. I do believe in being faithful to the house of God, faithful to the things of God. I believe in being in the house of God whenever those doors are open, both service times and prayer times. In Matthew chapter 25 and verses 21 and 23 says the same thing. There's one word that is different between these two scriptures, and that is the word thou is taken out of verse 23. But other than that, they say the same thing. Matthew 25 and 21 says, his Lord said unto him, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Thou hast been faithful over a few things, and I will make thee ruler over many things. Enter into the joy of the Lord. These parables, he's talking about the talents that were given out. The ruler came and gave out talents to his servants. And what those servants did with those talents would determine where it was that they were going to, what was going to happen in their life. To the first servant, he gave some talents. And that servant went out and he used those talents. And then when the master came back, he had increased the talents. He had been able to give back more than what he had been given. And the second servant did the same, even though he had been given less than the first man. But he still took what it was that he had, and he used it for the master's good, and he used it for the master's purpose, and was able to give back more than what he had been given. And the third servant took what he had, and he hid it. Then he buried it, and he didn't do anything with it. When he came back, when the master came back, he had nothing more to give. And so for the first two servants, he says, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Pastor has said many times that he feels that the biggest reward is going to be to those who are faithful. And I believe that as well, because when we're faithful, that's when we consider Jesus in the things of our life. When we're faithful, that's when we go to God in prayer for different things. When we're faithful, that's when we put our shoulder to the wheel and we begin to do a work for him. And we begin to put our efforts towards his kingdom and increasing his kingdom and taking the meager talents that we have. I know that when I came into church, I know that God has blessed me in talents since I've come come to give my life to him. As I began to use talents for him, I know that he's touched my life and he's anointed me and he's helped me along the way and he's increased what I've got. The things that I do now, I would not have considered a lot of what I do now before I came to God. But God has changed me and God has worked in me and God has made me what I am today. And I humbly come before him and I thank him every day for what it is that he has done in my life, for the blessings that he has given me. But it's from only from becoming faithful to him and giving our lives to him. And in saying all of that, I also do not believe, however, that Sunday church is all we need.
That's right.
I do not believe that just Sunday and Wednesday church is all we need. And I do not believe that Sunday and Wednesday church and being here and faithful to the prayer times and being faithful when the doors are open, that is not all we need. Being here in this building is where we come together to get strength. Being here in this building is where we can hear the voice of God. Being here in this building is when we can pray to him. But we cannot go back out there and then leave all this in here.
Amen.
We need to have that relationship with Jesus every day of our lives as we desire to live for him, as we desire to give our all to him, as we desire to make him the key, central, focal point of our lives. We need to have that relationship with him every day, every minute, every second. We need to have him in our thoughts and in our memory and direction as to where we're going. We need him every second of every day. I know I do. Because Jesus Christ is the reason for every season.
Mm-hmm.
We need him at Christmas time. We need him at Easter time. We need him in the middle of summer.
Mm-hmm.
We need him in the fall. Mm-hmm. It doesn't matter what time of year it is. We need him to be a part of our life. We cannot give our lives to him part of the year and then turn our back on him the rest of the year. I remember one Christmas, my wife and I were in Walmart, and we were coming out, and they have the different people working the Salvation Army kettle in the stores at that time of the year, and there was some people that we knew that were working the kettle, and they go to a different church in this town, and we began to talk to them about church, and we were talking to them about God, and they made the comment about, well, yeah, we don't go all the time, but you know how it is. And my wife and I looked at each other, thought, no, we don't know how it is. When the doors are open, we're in church. Church isn't an option. Well, it's nice out and I'd rather be at the lake. So, oh, God knows where my heart is. You're right. God does know where your heart is. And it's not with him.
Amen.
Because when God becomes a priority in your life, you give your all to him. Church doesn't just become an option because I've got nothing better to do. How would your spouse or your boyfriend, girlfriend, the significant other in your life like it if you only wanted to be around them when there wasn't something better going on? I don't think that relationship would go very far. And neither will it go very far with Jesus. You see, addictions will attack when you feel rejected. Depression attacks when you're alone. Lust can attack when you're walking down the street. Anger can attack you when you're driving down the road. But, oh, I only need Jesus at Christmas time and Easter time. I drive every day of the year. I walk every day of the year. There's times when I'm sitting at home alone. There's times when you get rejected, besides Christmas and Easter. It's not just those seasons when Satan tries to destroy you. It's just not those times of the year when the attacks will come. It's not just those times of the year when the enemy comes in like a flood and you need the Lord to raise up a standard against him. It's every day of the year we need him. It's every day of the year, every minute, every hour that we need to be in remembrance and be considering him and have him there as part of our life. We must every day dwell in God's word. I'll make a confession that others might be the same. Others, maybe I've gone astray. But I was filling my life with things that were not giving glory to God. Listening to music that maybe didn't give him glory. allowing things to come into my life that maybe I shouldn't be allowing, and suddenly you begin to realize that you're not where you need to be. You start to realize that you feel like a ship that's just drifting away, that's drifting around with no real focus and no real direction. So over the last probably, at least since camp, maybe not even quite that long, I've been trying to listen to music that only gives God glory. And I come to realize that even contemporary Christian music, listening to the satellite radio, the Christian channel on satellite radio, I flipped to that the other day and I started listening to some of the music on there. I thought, this doesn't glorify God. It's talking about God and different things. It's not bad music, but it's not lifting him up. It's not glorifying what he can do in your life. It's just empty. It's nothing substantial to it. And it started to open my eyes that there's so much in this world that we might turn to, and we might think, oh, this is good, but it's just empty. There's nothing to it. And it's not because of not being fed here at my home church that it's not that I'm not being fed by pastor's messages, but I've been listening to just different preaching on my way to work because I just feel lately that I need that. I just feel lately that I just need that extra strengthening. I want to put something into my life that's going to help me. I'm trying to put something into my life that's going to be that strength that I need when I go to work every day. So I've been had the opportunity the last couple of weeks that I've been driving to work alone, and I've been putting different messages on and listening to different preachers from around North America and listening to what it is they have to say. And I've been finding that my life has been changing because of it. My thoughts and the way I look at things has been changing because of it, because my focal point in this last few weeks has been just God and wanting to draw near to him and wanting to be close to him, and most of all, wanting to be ready for when he calls me home. And it's made me realize that this isn't just a season of time that I'm in that I feel that I need God. We need him every day. Amen. We need him every hour. We need him every minute and every second. Because the enemy is relentless. We must dwell in God's word daily. God's word must become the most important thing in our life. Mm-hmm. And I'd like us to turn to Psalm 119. This psalm, if you go through this psalm, I believe that this proves the importance of God's word in our lives. And I'm going to go through these quickly because there's quite a few of them that I'm going to read here. But if you can follow along, that's great. But we're going to go through, starting at verse number 9. It says, "Wherewithal shall the young man cleanse his ways? By taking heed thereto according to thy word." Verse 11, "Thy word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against thee." Verse number 16 says, "I will delight myself in the statutes, in thy statutes. I will not forget thy word." Verse 17 says, "Deal bountifully with thy servant that I may live and keep thy word." Verse 25 says, "My soul cleaveth unto the dust. Quicken thou me according to thy word." Verse 28 says, "My soul melteth for heaviness. Strengthen thou me according to thy word." Verse number 38 says, "Establish thy word unto thy servant who is devoted to thy fear." Verse 41 says, "Let thy mercies come also unto me, O Lord, even thy salvation according to thy word." Verse 42 says, So shall I have wherewith to answer him that reproacheth me, for I trust in thy word." Verse 50 says, "This is my comfort in my affliction, for thy word hath quickened me." 58, "I entreated thy favor with my whole heart. Be merciful unto me according to thy word." Verse 65 says, "Thou hast dwelt well with thy servant, O Lord, according unto thy word." 67, "Before I was afflicted, I went astray, but now I have kept thy word." 74, "They that fear thee will be glad when they see me, because I have hoped in thy word." 76, "Let I pray thee thy merciful kindness before my comfort, according to thy word unto thy servant. Verse 81 says, my soul fainteth for thy salvation, but I hope in thy word. 82, mine eyes fail for thy word, saying, when wilt thou comfort me? 89, forever, O Lord, thy word is settled in heaven. 101, I have refrained my feet from every evil way that I might keep thy word. 105, thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path. 107, I am afflicted very much. Quicken me, O Lord, according to thy word. 114, thou art my hiding place and my shield. I hope in thy word. 116, uphold me according to thy word, that I may live, and let me not be ashamed of my hope. 133, order my steps in thy word, and let not any iniquity have dominion over me. 140, thy word is very pure, therefore thy servant loveth it. 147, I prevented the dawning of the morning and cried, I hope in thy word. 148, my eyes prevent the night watches, that I might meditate in thy word. 154, plead my cause, deliver me, quicken me according to thy word. 158, I beheld the transgressors and was grieved because they kept not thy word. 160, thy word is true from the beginning, and from every one of the righteous judgments endureth forever. 161, princes have persecuted me without a cause, but my heart standeth in awe of thy word. 162, I rejoice at thy word as one that findeth great spoil. 169, let my cry come near before thee, O Lord. Give me understanding according to thy word. 170, let my supplication come before thee. Deliver me according to thy word. And 172, my tongue shall speak of thy word, for all thy commandments are righteousness. God's word. 38 verses that show us the importance of God's word. I've said many times in the past, I think David is probably one of the universally favorites characters in the Bible. The things that he accomplished, the things that he did. People look up to him greatly for being that little boy that was selected to be king, that little boy that went unto the giant Goliath and slayed the one who was defying his God. We look at him and we lift him up and we elevate him to this person that we all want to obtain, but we need to remember that David was also an adulterer. David was also the one that sent his Bathsheba's husband to be murdered, that he knew he was going to die in that situation, but he sent him to the front lines anyway. Purposed to kill him. David was a man. Just a man like you or I. David was one who had to fight down his lust. David was one who had to fight down probably depression. David was one who had to fight off the enemy attack in his mind after the things that he had done. And you can read in the book of Psalms all the accounts and all the times when he cried out to the Lord for his help. And as Saul was seeking for his life and desiring to kill him, and he would cry out to the Lord and he would pen the words, looking for God to be his strength and to be his refuge and to be his strong tower, the one that he could turn to every day and know that he was there. And we can go through the Psalm 119 and look at all the times when he called upon thy word to be what would keep him and what would sustain him and what would strengthen him. And thy word have I hid in my heart that I may not sin against thee. And all the times that thy word is established in heaven and calling out and knowing that it is God's word that we need in our lives. Right. Every day in every situation and every opportunity we need to be hiding God's word in our lives. And then that day we know is coming when we're not going to be allowed to have this book in our home anymore. We're not going to be able to just say, oh, let's sit down at a table and have a Bible study and let's all turn in our Bibles to this book, because we won't have them. But that's not when we stop witnessing. That's not when we stop trying to reach souls, because we need to have this word, the importance of this word. We need to have the important scriptures of that word hid in our hearts so we can share them and not have necessarily a Bible before us and not necessarily be able to call upon those scriptures, to remember is accept that what's in here and what's in here. And knowing God that is going to that it's God that's going to quicken us on that day. Knowing that it's God that's going to quicken our minds when it comes time to remember those scriptures, because we've hid them in our hearts, because we've taken them and we've held on to them and we desire to know them. Because that is God. And if we desire, we can't have a relationship with God without knowing what's in here. I can't have a relationship with my wife and not know her heart. And not know the struggles that she goes through. And not know the pains that she's endured. And not know that she cares for me. Otherwise, we're just two ships passing in the night. Oh, hi, I'm going to work. See you later. Be roommates. With no relationship. 38 verses. When I typed in my search, thy word as a phrase, speaking about God's word, thy word, 40 verses came up. 38 of those were what we just read. 38 verses in the word of God speaking about thy word, the importance of it being in our lives. Not just one or two. I think anything that's written 38 times, we should be definitely taking notice, saying, I need that in my life. According to thy word, Lord, is how we should live. There's another way in which we use the term season. We also use this term in reference to the season of life in which we find ourselves. We go through different seasons in our life. When we think of the seasons of our life, that's generally when we think about our text that we read at the beginning in Ecclesiastes. To everything there is a season and a time to every purpose under heaven, as it says in verse 1. For everything that we do in our lives, there's a season. Each one of us have experienced the season to be born. Each one of us in this place here today have experienced that twice. We have our natural birth when we came from our mother. And we have that time and the beginning of that season when we were born again. Amen. Of the water and of the Spirit. There are seasons of life, and attempting to do things out of season is not profitable. I certainly can't die before you were born. Don't want to really die before I've done many of the other things that are listed out. But here we find ourselves in our natural world nearing the end of the season called summer and moving into the season that we call fall. Fall is when our flowers begin to die. The leaves fall from the trees. Certain plants become dormant. Hibernating animals are finishing collecting their stores for the winter, and many birds begin the flight for a warmer climate. It's an end of one thing and the beginning of another. In the fall of your life, it's time for certain things within you to die. As you begin to feast upon God's word, preparing for that next season in your life. As the animals who would hibernate and be lay dormant for the winter would go around gathering, collecting, making sure that they've got enough to sustain them. That's what I mean to be feasting upon God's word. It's that season of life when we realize that this is what I need. This is what's going to sustain me. This is what's going to keep me. This is when I need to have that strength over those times in my life when maybe I don't feel like it so much, but I know then I can know and I can cling to that word of God that I can have hid in my heart, and I can know that God is with me, and I can know beyond a shadow of a doubt that he cares for me and that he walks with me and that he loves me, because I feasted upon that word that tells me that and helps me every day. And we begin to pray, and that's when we get into the word of God, and we begin to read, and we begin to study, and we begin to realize that there's things in my life that should not be there. There's things in my life that are not beneficial to me. There's things in my life that I don't need to have there, because all they do is take up space. All they do is take up time. It doesn't have to be sin in my life that I need to get rid of. It doesn't have to be sin in our lives that we need to shun and push away. But if things are not being beneficial to us, if things are not helping us, then why do we need it? Why is it there? I know that my waistline tells me that certain things don't need to be in my diet. I don't need to eat candies, and I don't need to drink Pepsi, and I don't need to eat ice cream right before I go to bed. It's not beneficial to me. It's of no help to me. It's not doing anything for me. We all know that we need food and we need water and we need these things in our life, but what is it that we're putting in? Is it beneficial or is it not beneficial?
Yeah.
I'm not attacking anybody's ice cream, and I'm not attacking anybody's candies or their Pepsi, because I haven't given those up yet, but I know that I need to. I can't say to my wife, I don't like what I see in the mirror, and then do nothing about it. I can't say that I don't like where I am in God and don't do anything about it. I've heard many of what we would call, and it might be the wrong word to use in speaking about a preacher, but big name preachers. The ones that have gone out and done great things, and we admire them for the things that they have done. We admire them for the talents that God has given them, and we admire them for the power that they seem to have and the anointing that they seem to have. And we think, well, oh, I'd love to be there. But are we willing to put the work in to get what they've got? The comment was made down at camp. Many of us have heard, if not all of us have heard, Brother Woodward's preaching, and he is an amazing man of God, and he's insightful, and the things that he gleans out of the Word of God that he shares, the comment was made at camp about the hours that he must spend studying in order to gain that insight. Reading scriptures over and over, reading. He's written books. He's done all these different things, but it isn't just something that you sit down and just begin to pen the words and write a book. There's time that is spent in study. There's time that is spent in fasting. There's time that is spent in prayer. There's time, all those seconds that I spoke of at the beginning, is all valuable time that some of these men have taken that time and they've used it for what is profitable. They get up in the morning and they earnestly pray, and they through their day they pray, and they get into the Word of God, and they study it, and they search it out, and they seek it out, and join things together, and they spend their time wisely. I've heard many of these preachers talk about, well, you can have what it is that God has given me if you put in the work. If you put in the effort. Those are the preachers that everybody's going out golfing on Saturday, and I'd really like to go. Golfing's not bad. But I'm going to go and study instead. Everybody's going out for dinner, but I got to go home and study. I got to go home and pray. I got to be close to God. I got to be near Him every minute, every day. It's each one of our choice. How are we going to spend our time? What are we going to do with our time? What are we going to allow into our lives? And what are we going to keep out of our lives? In the fall of our life, it's time when we should get into the Word of God. Study the Word of God and be prepared to remove things if that's what the Word of God tells you. Things that you might be holding on to, things that you have been struggling to keep alive that God wants to get rid of out of your life. The next season to come is winter. Plants and animals are hunkered down. The ground, the grass, everything around us covered in a thick blanket of snow. The temperature drops and all you want to do is stay inside where it's still warm and it's nice and cozy. In this season, in your walk with God, you spend time meditating upon his word. Hunker down, not sure where to go, but just contemplating what it is that God wants to do in your life. You feel protected and snuggle into the presence of the Holy Ghost as God begins to work upon your soul. Some of the times when I've heard God's voice the loudest in my life isn't when I'm reading the Word of God, isn't when I'm listening to music, isn't even so much when I'm hearing the preached word, but it's in those times when I've hunkered down and just sat and meditated upon the things that I've read. Maybe a scripture will pop into your mind and you just begin to sit and think and ponder that scripture, and you begin to meditate upon it, and you begin to wonder about it, and suddenly voices, that voice from God starts to come into your mind and it begins to start to speak to you in ways that you wouldn't normally hear because you've not allowed any other noise to come in with it. You've just been meditating in that silence when there's no other noise. It's not the music that's going in the background, and it's not people talking around you, but you've taken that time to just meditate upon God's word. And think about what it is, the things that you have read as you began to study and as you began to learn, as you began to get into his word. And there's times when you might read something and there's nothing really there. You might read a scripture and you don't even really quite grasp it. So you'll just put it away for a little while. And then when you get hunkered down and you begin to meditate upon that word and you start to think about that scripture, and suddenly it starts to come alive to you and it starts to speak to you, and you start to be able to glean an understanding of it because God is speaking to you through it. In the winter of our life, that's when we just hunker down because you can't seem to do anything else. When all you can do is stand, that's what you do. When you feel like you can't take another step forward, just stand. Maybe that's what God wants you to do, is just to stand and meditate and consider and see where he's going. And then just around the corner is spring. Spring, where all things become new. Such a great time of the year when you look and the snow is dissipating and it's going away, and you look out in your front yard and you can see the grass is starting to turn green again, and the tulips are pushing their way up out of the soil, and things are kind of starting to come to life and starting to bloom and starting to blossom, and everything starts to become new, and you look around and it's just feels like such a fresh time of life to be living. Things appearing were just a short time ago, there was nothing. And in this season of life is when the farmer and the Christian begin to plant seeds in abundance, praying for the rain that would cause those seeds to produce a harvest, praying for a rain to fall that in a short little time later would start to see things begin to sprout and begin to grow, where they could look upon that as something to be harvested and something that they could glean in. The farmer looks for the wheat or the corn or whatever it is that they happen to be growing to be pushing up, and they want that rain to come down, and they want that rain to fall upon those seeds and upon their fields, so they know that in a short while they can go out and they can start harvesting it and bringing in that crop and doing with it what it is that it's intended to do. And the Christian that has gone out and been planting seeds along the way and casting them out upon many waters to all that would listen, and they tell people about Jesus, and they tell them about what God has done in their life and what God can do in your life and what God can do in those around you, and they begin to cast those seeds out and begin to throw those seeds out, and they wait for that rain to come. And when people start to come in and they start, that seed that was planted starts to do something in their life. And it's in the spring of the year that things become new and it becomes fresh. And it's in the spring of our walk with God that we start to see souls come through those doors, and And oh, I remember one day you came and you told me about what God could do in my life. And I didn't want to listen at that time, but where I'm at right now, those words that you spoke to me, I remembered them and I knew that I had to come to this place. I knew I had to come in. Oh, it might have been a year or two ago and I didn't see that seed growing into anything. I didn't see that anything happening with that seed, so I left it. But any seeds that are cast out, any seeds that are planted are not a waste of time. Because we don't know when they're going to grow. Because then our seasons with God are not like our natural seasons. It's God's time is not our time. God lives outside of time. God knows when you've planted that seed, that God knows exactly when that person's going to come. We may never see it. I remember listening to a message quite some time ago, and I believe it was Brother Ballestero was preaching a message, and he said when he was just a young pastor, he said he had an evangelist come. He said an evangelist was staying and sleeping on the hide of bed in their living room. They didn't have a very big place. And he said in the middle of the night, he woke up and he heard some noise, and he wasn't sure what that noise was. And he said he walks out down the hallway, and he peers around the corner into the living room. And there's the evangelist, face down into the carpet, crying, wailing and praying, God, save my children. God, my children are backslidden. God, I've given my life to you. I've done everything that you wanted me to do, God. All I ask is that you save my children, that they need your salvation. They need your touch. They need to be turned around before it's too late, God. He said every night that he was there preaching for him, he said he would hear him in the living room crying on his face, crying for his children to be saved. He says, and that preacher was an elderly man, and it was a little while later, he said that preacher passed away and was gone. And he says that he went to go and preach in this church where this man was in the area where this man was from, and he was going to preach an opening of a church, and he was in there and he preached his message, and after the message they had a fellowship afterwards, and he was heading into the fellowship hall, and this young woman comes walking up and introduces herself, and she goes, oh, you probably don't know who I am. And she introduces herself as the daughter of that minister who laid on his face wailing for his backslidden children to be saved. He said, it's so great to see you. How are your brothers and your sisters doing? And she says, they're great. They're all here. We've all come back. We've all come back to church, and we've all given our lives to God, and we've all been renewed in the Holy Ghost. Because the seeds that go out in the spring of the year, we don't know when they're going to grow. But all we can do is trust that God is working on them. Trust that that rain is going to fall. Trust that something is going to happen with those seeds. The seeds that are planted in our prayers. The seeds that are planted in our witness. The seeds that are planted in our testimony. The seeds that go out at every opportunity that we cast them. And we can trust that God is working, and the spring is a time to work and a time to toil and a time to invest in the kingdom of God. And the next and final season is that season of summer. In summertime, the birds are chirping, the animals are well out of hibernation and taking care of their young. The farmer and hopefully the Christian are reaping that harvest after the season of their labor. We need to be always ready to be able to reap that harvest. I know that I, for one, have been guilty of dropping the ball. You plant the seeds, and when the seeds start to sprout and they start to grow, you don't feel like working the field. And it dies. And it's gone. When we plant those seeds, we need to be ready to be able to harvest those seeds, to care for those seeds, to be there for them, to help them to grow, to protect them from the elements, protect them from the enemy. Just as in the natural world, the seasons change and cycle. And the Christian may find certain seasons coming once again into their lives. It isn't the seasons for a Christian aren't in a natural, necessarily just a natural cycle. It isn't just fall and winter and spring and summer and over and over again. We might go through that same season for an extended period of time, and we might go through another season quickly, and the next season might come back to us again if that's what God wants us to be in. But we need to be trusting in God and knowing that whatever season we're in, that we apply ourselves wholly to that season. If we're in a season of the fall, we're reaping in, or we're gathering in for our stores, then we know we need to be into the Word of God. And we need to know that we need to be studying, and we need to be learning and be ready to grow and to be, have that strength for that time when the winter comes, when we hunker down and maybe we can't do anything more but just trust on what we've read and what we've heard and what we believe in. And know that God is with us in that season. The seasons go around, and we need to be ready for whatever time that we're season that we're in. In Ecclesiastes 3 and verse number 2, it says there's a time to be born and a time to die. We don't have a choice of either one of those. A time to plant those seeds that we cast out. Time to pluck up that which is planted. A time to kill and a time to heal. Sometimes we need to kill some things out of our life so that we can heal. Time to break down and time to build up. It's a time to break down those strongholds that are keeping God from moving in your life. There's a time to build up, saying, God, I need your strength and I need your power. There's a time to weep and a time to laugh, and sometimes one comes immediately after the other. A time to mourn and a time to dance. A time to cast away stones and a time to gather stones together. A time to embrace and a time to refrain from embracing. A time to get and a time to lose. A time to keep and a time to cast away. A time to rend and a time to sow. A time to keep silence and a time to speak. A time of love and a time to hate. A time of war and a time of peace. Verse 1, to everything there is a season, and a time to every purpose under the heaven. As we stand together today, I'll invite Sister Z to come up. We might be ending the summer of our natural world. We might be ready to step into fall. But only you and God know what season that you are in today. I might be in the fall, reading, learning, listening. You might be in the winter. Might be time for you to meditate. Might be time for you to remember what it is that you learned. Might be time for you just to stand and cling to what it is that faith that lies within you. But whatever season you're in, I just want to remind you today that Jesus Christ is the reason for every season. Why don't we just take a minute today and let's just talk to God. You may not even know what season you're in. Sometimes we get to that place in our life when we're just confused. When, God, I don't know what it is that you want me to do. I don't know where I'm going. I don't know what I'm doing right now, God. I don't know where I'm supposed to be. Just ask Him. And listen for His voice. Because God will help you. God will direct you. God will position you where He wants you. But if you can only remember one thing, whatever season you're in, Jesus Christ is the reason. He's there in it with you to help you through it. Let's pray. Lord, I thank you, God, for your mercy, O Lord. I praise you, God, for your love, O Lord Jesus. Walk with me.